This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And it's a big day on the podcast day because we have a bunch of songs that we want to play for you that you will decide what the new song will be whenever Beam or I gets a prediction right. We want to have a goal song.
Or wrong.
We're going to have song. It's Song-O-Rama in honor of the crew trying to figure out a new goal song. We've decided we're not going to do that. That's dumb. But the crew did put that out there so we could maybe chat about that. Also chat about them, I don't know, trading away the captain of the team 2 weeks before the season starts. Mm-hmm. And then the amount of people who've patted me on the head and said, not to worry there, Bone, it'll be fine.
I love Gam. Gam is my favorite player.
Oh, got a lot of Gam. General allocation money, it's our favorite. We are just about a week away from the start of the season, and I have no idea what this team's going to be this year. I guess that happens when you have a new manager, but you'd like to believe some
like
steady players
would
be a part of the thing, and now they're not. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about the Jonathan Mensah deal. We will also talk about a situation in Scotland that is getting some high praise in some circles and some, controversy from other people. I'm more in the high praise camp. We'll talk about that. And who could be the U.S. national team coach? Who could be the Southampton coach? Could be all. Who knows?
Could be the same guy.
Could have been. Probably not, but could have been. Chelsea, this just in Beamer, they want to spend some money and get another big name player. Have you heard anything about that? I've been told that's a thing that they like to do.
I'll give away a little bit of a tease for this. I would very much look forward to this happening. Like,
okay. Interesting.
Very much look forward
to
this.
All right. So we'll get to that and some Champions League action as well. We can discuss all of that as it's all happening.
And the terrible start of the second half to Arsenal season.
Oh, buddy. We just talked about how we were just
getting
around to praising Arsenal, and then it hasn't really worked out this second half of the season, which I know you're thrilled because, hey, man, as long as the city of Manchester's doing well in soccer, that's all you care about, right? It's like the SEC.
I'm just looking forward to the points deduction that's coming their way. United champions.
Right. Okay.
Title charge.
Okay, great. So is Arsenal also getting points? How many other teams are getting points deducted for?
They're just going to get deducted themselves by losing
games. I see. Oh, okay. Wow. All right. There we go. Let's talk about the crew season starting up in, soccer podcast day sits, about 9 days away.
9 days away.
I got to tell you, I have never had, and this is, I feel bad even saying this, but it's true. I've never had a lower.com amount of interest in this season, in a season starting, than I have felt coming into this one. Like, I feel no buzz, no juice, no excitement. I mean, I'm curious to see what Wilfried Nancy will look like as a manager, and I'm curious to see what kind of product he puts out there, but I'm already, even with that, thinking, like, when he took over at Montreal, it took them half a season to really kind of get how to play in his system. That's going to probably be the case here. The first half of this season is probably going to be a lot of ups and downs and probably some early downs.
You mean
to
tell me that you're going to go into a second half of the season with everything to play for and bank on this crew team to hopefully get wins and make the playoffs?
Right. I'm saying even if the crew went out and had like six or seven big time signings and had brought in a couple of players where you're like, whoa, that dude, I saw him in Champions League last year. I saw him playing in a, top four league. And now he's going to come over here and get some more minutes. None of that happened. There weren't any notable replacements that were brought in for guys like Derek Etienne, who now leaves, who is going to leave a hole on the goal-scoring roster for this team, as far as I can tell. And so I don't have a lot of excitement that way. And then right before the season starts, where it just felt like nothing was really happening, it was just the most blah offseason ever, they take the beloved team captain, who I happen to share a first name with, and then sent him packing. And so Jonathan Mensah, We barely knew thee. We knew thee well, actually. We knew thee very well. But thank you for helping us win a championship. But now he's gone.
So when this news came down, and of course it came down the day after we recorded the podcast last week, because I think it came down last Friday and we were having technical difficulties.
I was having trouble getting it posted because
you were, to be fair, to be 100% transparent, I have nothing to do with posting the podcast.
Which is a very convenient time to bring that up when you didn't actually screw it up. So.
Hey, I just want to be transparent. When it's posted on time, you get the credit. When it's not posted on time,
that's right.
I don't have anything to
that's
do
right.
with it.
That's right. I got it. I get the blame. That's fine. I'm the quarterback of the technical side of the podcast. That's fine.
So, I, you know, this news came down. You sent me a text. Like, as soon as it came down, I was like, you know, you don't like this decision. And I don't either, for what it's worth. And, you know, on our morning show that we do, and we talk more so about, like, American football and everything. And, you know, you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets right now with what they're doing. If you happen to be in Columbus and you're a Jackets fan as well. Like, there are so many times where it's like, all right, you know, we got this guy, we got that guy, we're super excited to have him here. Like, what's the cost of leadership to you? You know what I mean? Because
right. Yeah.
You can look at Jonathan Mensah for this team, and you can go over all the stats that you want and say, well, okay, he's starting to fall, and, you know, we're getting $250,000, I think, in GAM, and it can appreciate up to somewhere in the range of like $500,000, depending on all these accelerators that he has in the structure of the contract and the deal. In the actual trade. So I'm a proponent that leadership costs more. Like, if you want to get someone off my team, like, it's going to cost you more if they're a great leader. And in this case, especially, I mean, you're talking about a captain of a team who was the captain of a cup winning side a couple of years ago, like, who is really, and I think this is the hardest part for me as a fan to wrap my head around. Like, there are guys and there are athletes that we've seen coming to Columbus, and then they go like a fart in the wind, and they're just in and out of here, and it's like, oh, how was your time in Columbus? Like, oh, it wasn't the best. Like, right. I didn't really enjoy it. Now, we're seeing that less, I think, with the growth of the city and everything that we have to offer, and you and I both live here, and we love it.
Yeah.
Jonathan Mensah embraced the city's identity and really, like, turned into it. As a captain, as a representative of the organization, as a representative of a city to, you know, the rest of the league, and for people across the world who happen to like MLS, like, the voice of the crew who you were hearing was Jonathan Mensah. And that's, let alone the leadership aspect that Jonathan Mensah brings on the field, but the organizational prowess and the amount of sway that his voice had and the way that he embraced the city, that really hurts as a fan when you've done nothing else this offseason to identify other needs and you also let go of a fan favorite in your captain. Like, that's where it hurts, at least for me and my perspective.
Well, and I even remember going back to, I'm trying to think, was that after, I believe that was after the 2010 season, where the crew, I want to say that was the real Black Friday of Black and Gold Fridays, where maybe it wasn't a Friday, I forget what day it was, but they essentially, that was when that group, that core group that was part of the 2008 MLS Cup, Frankie Haydick, Guillermo Barros-Skeloto, Duncan Outen, I'm trying to think who else was in that day, that Gino Padula maybe, like, they said all these guys were not renewing their contracts. They all are not playing for us next year. And that was tough. That was one where I'm like, man, this is really over. Mm-hmm. Like, that group is leaving, and it's, and that year was disappointing, and all these other things, you know, happened after that. But whether it was 2010 or 2011, I forget. But it was still, the point being, it was a very frustrating time. But that was done in November or December or whatever. It was at the end of the season. This is a couple weeks before the season
22
starts.
22 days away from the season opening.
Yeah, when they did this. So if you're going to tell me, oh, man, this has always been part of the plan. They know what they're doing. They got a plan. Don't worry about it. Well, maybe, but you knew who this manager was going to be. You hired him in, you know, mid-December, basically, or late December. Why not go ahead and right then and there say, hey, he's come in and he's already kind of figured out. I'm guessing the signals they're going to play a back three, right? That's something that has been thought he would do formationally here. And that's fine if that's what Wilfred Nancy wants to play. I'm willing to play whatever you want to play. And if your argument to Jonathan Mensah as a player is he was a captain, he was a leader, he was beloved, he captained a defense that had multiple breakdowns last year in the final 20 minutes of games.
That's fair.
That's a reasonable discussion.
It's fair.
That's all, yeah. I like Jonathan Mensah personally. I think he's a great person, a great human, and a great soccer player that did a lot of good on the field. If you want to say the last couple of years, maybe different leadership on the defense could have made a difference. I'm willing to hear the soccer argument for that. What makes no sense to me is doing it this soon before the season, where I'm guessing guys on the team are not shocked. I'm guessing the leadership of that team already knows who's going to kind of take over there and who's going to be the new captain and all this other stuff. But, I mean, if you thought this was going to be a quick put a stamp on it with the new coach, rearrange a couple pieces, motivate some guys differently, and right back to the playoffs we go, that's what I had been hoping with the hiring of Wilfred Nancy.
Doesn't look that way.
The way this is starting off, the way this offseason basically was nothing, and I know he's being very deliberate in saying, I want to evaluate every player, give them a real fair shake before I just decide what I'm doing. I don't want to come in and just gut the team without even seeing these guys perform and practice.
Or keep this team the same.
Or keep it the same, whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to do that until I get to see what it is. So maybe this is all setting up for summer transfer window. There's going to be the moves that, you know, he already has guys identified that he wants to go after. Maybe they're not available yet. They won't be until the summer. Whatever. That's all. I get all of that. But you have to understand, I think the Crew front office has to do a better job of putting this stuff in front of the fans in ways that make us feel like we're a part of it. Man, because I'm telling you, like, how many decisions over the last, basically since the Haslams bought the team, how many decisions has it felt like Crew fans were looked at and they said, yeah, hey, Crew fans, I know you're not going to like this, but you got to trust us. Pretty smart.
Guys, we're going to change the name of the team.
We're changing the name of the team. We're changing the logo of the team. And by the way, they did that. They didn't do it right when they took over. They won a championship. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after the championship, it was like, all right, things, they are changing.
So my tinfoil hat theory on that, and I think we discussed this when the logo change or the name change was happening. It's like, we're going to do the name change and the logo change. We know that fans are going to freak out about the name change, but we'll be all right with a logo change if the name goes back. Like, that's 1,000%.
You think they put both out there knowing they'd give back the name and then they get their logo change?
Yes. Yeah.
So they put them both out there to then pull one back knowing they would pull it off the table. There was a negotiating ploy, more or less. That's, you know what? That's, that might be. I honestly don't know if the Haslams are smart enough to do that. You're right. Like, that's a decent theory if I believe that they had that type of foresight. But seeing J.W. Johnson, some of the stuff he tweets, I don't know if these people have ever had a conversation with, like, normal humans.
I think got J.W. blocked on Twitter, if we're being honest.
I'm sure I do. If I haven't, I need to. That'd be a good thing. But either way, again, so I think this has to be understood in the context of it's more than just guy who's a captain who's played here a lot of years is out with a new coach, and maybe the new coach just says, I need new leadership. Yeah. I need a new voice. That's all reasonable. But when there
you
are the people
on the heels 3 weeks before the season starts,
you have to understand why there are a lot of Crew fans who say, that sucks. I don't like that. And if you want me to be excited about the season, this ain't the way to do it. Including me, air quotes, in a process to select your goal scoring song, which, number one, I don't even think we need a goal scoring. How about the song is the song of the Nordeca just saying whatever they want after a goal happens?
Or the whole stadium erupting in cheer.
Between that and the jackhammer, man, I tell you, like, this is what bugs me the most about the way this ownership group and front office works. They don't trust the fans to just be fans. They're like, we know you're not smart enough or capable enough or loud enough to actually go carry this on your own. We've got to have a jackhammer. We've got to have a song. We got to blast that song at 800 decibels so that no one can hear whatever you're actually doing organically. We've got to set the tone because we're the Crew and we're smarter than the fans who actually, you know, saved the team. We're smarter than them. So let's not let them develop their own traditions, their own things they like to do. No, let's take it over and show them how we should do it. And that's what bugs me with the way that this whole operation works over there at Black and Gold, whatever it's called now. I don't even know what's the name of the little place, Asbury Place or something, I think is what they're trying to call it.
Lamar Hunt Way.
Well, that's what it used to be. Anyway, another discussion for another day. Point is, that sucks. That just, I don't like it.
It did suck. It does suck. I mean, it didn't suck. It does suck. It sucks currently.
I'll say this, little positive spin from me. Not even spin, just a thing that I'll try to be a positive voice here too. I don't dislike the new uni. I don't know if you got to look at that yet.
Yeah, they look good.
The alternate kit they put out.
They cost $200, but they look good.
Yeah, well, I had a few people that already pointed this out, and I think it's spot on. And I'm not going to say it's not against that company, but whatever the gambling company is that you download their app, you then get a credit to go to the Crew Gear Store and buy something. Mm. There were already people pointing out, like, could it be that price hike is to account for the extra $100, $97, $99 credit, whatever, $96 credit. That would be what it is. It's crew 96. It's like a $96 credit you get to the gear store when you deposit on this thing. And it's like, is that why it is? I mean, I know those jerseys are pretty expensive.
Yes.
An authentic one with a player name on it's usually going to be over $150. But
they do look good. The jerseys look good.
They look good. Other than what is going to be my main problem with every piece of crew merchandise that comes out right now is this stupid logo.
Yep.
And I remain steadfast that it will get changed.
So speaking of merchandise and logos, I just bought a quarter zip for myself and a little baby onesie from Supporter Supply. So we're going to be outfitted for the season.
I'll tell you what, we get nothing for saying this, but Supporter Supply, I'm a bigger guy. You're a bigger guy. They have sizes that fit us. Mm-hmm. And I know a few of the degenerates who run that place. They asked me, among other crew fans I know, they gave samples to me at one point and said, we're putting a jersey out. Would you try these on and let me know how these fit in these extended sizes?
Nice.
Because, like, I'm not saying that as, like, I have some...
Sure.
But, like, that's the level of care they actually put into this.
You do have to say if you're holding a stakeholder in the company.
I'm not that. I wish,
I know.
Wish I was.
Yeah, me too.
Let me know if there's an interest. I'm interested. I'll do it just for free stuff. But, no, I bought their the USA kit.
It looked good. Looked great on you.
The dark blue with the stars.
Looks great.
Well, I saw it when we had our event at Zaftig where we had the watch party for the USA-England game. Yeah. I saw like half dozen people wearing it, and I was like, okay, I'd seen it online.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about doing it anyway. I'm doing it. I bought it. But, yeah, I got to buy some more gear from there. I got to get this year's. I saw their supporter jersey they made. It's like the pale yellow. It looks pretty sick.
Yeah,
it does look
good.
I got to get one of those. But, yeah, in either case, there you go. If you don't want to give money to the Haslams, I can't blame you. There you go, Supporter Supply. Go give it to them. All right, let's talk about something other than the crew, which just seemed to be frustrating to me right now. And I don't want to have that relationship with the crew.
I don't either.
I want to just go and enjoy it. I hope it's fun.
Hey,
I hope
Star
it's
Wars
fun.
Night over at the Death Star.
Right.
Apparently someone's listening.
They, you know what? Good for you, man. Good for you for you've been the one calling it the Death Star from day one that I've seen. Maybe other people have and I missed it. You're the one I keep hearing call it the Death Star, and now they have Star Wars Night at the Death Star on the marketing. So, are you a stakeholder with the crew? Did they bring you in? Are you part of the Haslam Sports Group now?
I have unblocked JW Johnson on Twitter. That's all I can say.
Yeah. By the way, if you've never done that, preemptively just blocking.
Oh,
like,
it's the best.
Like, if you're not a fan of a certain celebrity, if there's a celebrity that annoys you, just go block them. It's cathartic. It feels so good. They're never. But
on the off chance, like the one in a billion, bazillion chance that person stumbles into your Twitter account and finds out that they're blocked.
Yeah.
That would be just tremendous.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Reed, golfer, jerk, he's blocked. If Patrick Reed stumbles onto my Twitter account and finds like he's blocked that all time.
Yeah, right.
And knowing that possibility is out there is great.
Many years ago, I blocked Steph and Ayesha Curry, both of them, during the Cavs thing where they were like calling the Cavs fans babies and tweeting out like, baby bottles and all that stuff.
It just happened live.
Yeah. And now, I mean, I obviously have tons of respect for the Currys and I think they're great. But I just, at the time, was very angry and blocked them because I was not happy with that. All right. Let's talk about the situation in Scotland. So you had it's like their FA Cup. It's the Scottish Cup is what this is. Okay. So you had Rangers was playing, and I love this team name, Partick Thistle.
Yes.
So it's Rangers and Thistle going at it. And you had a player who I believe was Malik Tillman was the guy's name. So he's trying to like.
American.
Yeah. He's trying to tow the ball away. And he got his leg stepped on by this is a Rangers player getting his leg stepped on by a Thistle player. Mm-hmm. So then the ball lands. Now he's on the ground in pain because he did get his ankle stepped on pretty solidly. So he's on the ground, whether he's milking that or not, face down on the ground. Rangers player receives the ball, sees the injury, points it out, immediately plays the ball out of bounds. So after Tillman collects himself, gets back up, he apparently was unaware that this was played out purposefully. So when Thistle throws it in, he's not aware that Thistle's about to do the thing, and you can see the guy who gets the ball is like he kind of plays a little in front of himself, and he's about to just boot it up the field to give it back to Rangers, as you do, the unwritten rules of soccer.
Well, there goes out looked like he's trying to go for a goal kick on the other side. Like, just get it down trying to the other side of the field. As far as he could. A total reset of the game.
Yes, right. But that's
sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship, yes. And so Tillman did not apparently realize that this had happened. So he jumped this ball because if you're not trying to do what I think the Thistle player was trying to do, which is play it up the field and give it back.
You could tell that he was very relaxed in doing it.
Yeah,
like,
it's not the way you would play the ball if you thought there was pressure coming towards you. There's no way you'd play the ball this way. So Tillman steals the ball for Rangers, dribbles into the box pretty much unimpeded, dribbles around the goalkeeper, slots it home,
scores.
Kind
of a nice goal.
It was a nice goal. And then immediately all the Thistle players pushing and shoving, like screaming at him, like, what the hell, you a-hole.
Jumped him.
They were pissed, rightfully so. I would have been pissed, too.
He's lucky he didn't get hurt, like, in the skirmish.
Yeah, right. It was, and again, this is Rangers playing, I believe Thistle's a second division Scottish team. Rangers one of the biggest teams in Scotland. It's them and Celtic. Those are the two. So you'd see how they would be pretty, that seems pretty low, right, to take advantage of a situation and score. I think Tillman was confused. I don't think he saw that the ball had been played out purposefully. That's my guess. Michael Beal, the head coach, the manager for Rangers, that's what they call those guys in soccer, he realizes what happened. Players come over. He eventually, after they settle all this down, he calls his captain over on the kickoff. This one now is going to kick off. They get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Calls his captain over, and you can tell he says something to him. Captain's not exactly thrilled, but runs back, relays the message. Basically, the call comes in saying, we're going to let them score.
Never seen it. Never.
In a soccer game? I don't recall ever seeing
ever.
It. And so then the Thistle player, I don't know his name, but he dribbles the ball and runs. And the whole defense just kind of stands there and lets him walk through.
It's like when you have your controller unplugged in FIFA.
Yeah, that's what
literally
it looks
like. Just like everybody's just standing there.
And then the keeper for Rangers gave a little like, hey, I'm not going to let you through. And then he eventually lets him get around and he kicks it in. And he's laughing. The Thistle player's laughing. But it was, I think, the right move. It got the game back on level terms. It was 1-1 when all this started.
Yep.
So then that put it at 2-2. So at the end of the day, it's still a tie game, and now Rangers has to go, and they have the rest. It was like 70th minute, so they still have 20-some minutes to try to go win this game. And as it turned out, they did. They won 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
They got a goal late. I think it was James Sands that got the goal, actually, former MLS player.
Yeah, so I saw this come down, and I'm with you. I think that Tillman just didn't know the situation because I've never seen that. Like, guys try to jump a ball.
No.
They're obviously trying to play it back to the other side.
Well, if he did know and did that, it's one of the dirtiest plays in soccer history. I mean,
total jerk move.
You don't do that.
Like, come on, man. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? But I'm inclined to believe that he didn't know. And it was, like, back to your point, like, it was a pretty gnarly tackle. I mean, he was down there, I'm sure, didn't feel the best.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a call or trying to milk time, doing whatever. He's got his eyes away. Didn't see his own player kick it out. Okay, cool. Plays back up. I see this guy being lackadaisical with the ball. Poof, I'm going to like jump onto my opportunity to go and get this. And then, I mean, imagine in his mind if he truly didn't know what was going on in the situation, and then he scores the goal and gets jumped.
That's what I'm saying. How confusing would that be where everyone does that? And it's like, what did I do? And then I could see... In that moment, I could imagine how you would feel of like, well, wait a second. I got my ankle stepped on. I'm pissed off.
I'm the bad guy.
I jump up and I make a great play on a ball. I catch you guys sleeping. I score a great goal. And now you guys are all mad at me? F you. Like, I'd be jumping up and wanting to fight those guys. Like, why are you pushing me? You're the ones who tackled me in the first place.
Yeah.
You should have stepped harder on my ankle, I guess, because it didn't work. Didn't keep me down. So... In the heat of the moment, you can see how all that can play out. And it's not that anyone is necessarily a bad guy. It just everything kind of happened and there was a misunderstanding.
I'm happy to know that it was ratified immediately. You know what I mean? Like, because if Rangers sit back and it's like, this guy's kind of a jerk, but he scored a goal. So, like, that was the only situation. Because you're not going to call the goal off. Like, you can't do that. There's no rules of saying, well, he was playing the ball the other way. Like, it's not a... free kick, obviously. It's like it's not a dead ball where you can just take it.
Yeah.
Like, this ball is live and in play, and it's good to see, like, a manager, captain come together and say, guys, like, that shouldn't have happened.
That shouldn't have been.
But, again, I've never seen anything like this.
No, I have not either. And you know what? I'll say this for Michael Beal, the manager for Rangers. That takes some stones.
Yes, it does.
Like, even if you want to say, I mean, he could have easily gone back, done nothing, and said, hey, it was an honest mistake. Our guy didn't know. But what am I supposed to do? The referee let it play on. There's no rule that says we're not allowed to do that. There's no rule saying
I'll talk. Yeah, I'll talk to our player.
I'll talk to our player and make sure he knows that you have to be more aware of the situation. I'm disappointed at how that went, but if he would have said, what do you want me to do? Let them score a goal on us? I mean, that's not how
I also don't think he would have been wrong for that decision either.
No, I mean, it definitely would have been more cynical.
Of course.
But like he does this in a game where clearly Rangers doesn't want to lose to Thistle. No, you don't want to lose any game, but this is a second division side. You're Rangers. You don't want to lose this game and have it look in front of your home fans, by the way. I believe it was a home game for them too. So you got all that going on. And then he says, no, give him the ball. Number one, among all that, what a confident move too.
Seriously.
To say, that's all right, have a goal.
You lose this game?
Oh, imagine if they lost it.
Of course.
And it's like you gave them back the tie, and now they
perhaps
go and score the goal.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, if they score one more goal in that game, it goes from being a tie, which would suck, to being a loss. Like,
suck worse.
And you're embarrassed, and it's because you let them back in with this. That would be replayed forever. And I'm sure there were fans who were mad about it. They didn't seem to be very happy about it at the stadium.
Right.
Because I'm sure also they couldn't quite tell what was going on. Many of the fans, they probably just looked up, saw their guy scored, and thought, oh, sweet, yeah. And they didn't realize the context there.
Yeah.
But God, it took some guts, man, for Michael Beale to do that. But his quotes after the game were basically, Rangers has high standards. I have high standards.
Good for him.
This club does not, we don't do stuff on the cheap. We're not going to cut corners. We're going to do things the right way.
Not cheaters like Pep Guardiola. So
my buddy Jacob's a big Rangers guy. So
I know Jake.
Yeah.
Jacob, I know Jake.
Jacob listens to the shows here and listens to our podcast. And so he was texting like, hey, I heard you guys talking about this on we talked about it on our show. And I said, to me, it's great sportsmanship.
I wonder what Bob Carpenter would think about this.
You know what? You should bring it up tomorrow on your radio show. See what happens. Now, I have to say this, though. My team in Scotland, because I have a buddy, John Lavelle. I've hung out with some of the Buckeye boys, their supporters group down at
Old Firm with him.
Went to the Old Firm, yeah. And I feel like I would, as much as I'd like to root for Rangers and I respect this move, I feel like my loyalties have to lie with Celtics.
Jesus
so, yeah, take that, you stupid Protestants. I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to say. I'm new to the rivalry. I just know Celtics Catholic, and you guys are Protestants at Rangers, so I don't know. Yeah, don't have a Eucharist or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how to smack talk in a religious soccer rivalry. I have no idea how this works.
You know what? I was born and raised Catholic, so I'll jump on Celtic.
Hey, there you go. I was born and raised Protestant. I rejected that shit, so now I'm over here. Just kidding. If you're religious, calm down. I don't actually mean any of this. I'm not trying to. I'm saying this rivalry is based on Protestant and Catholic. It goes back that far. It's kind of a big deal, the Celtic Rangers thing. You can't just say, I hope both teams are happy. No. Like, City and United are just, you guys lived on different blocks. These people are going to different afterlives. I mean, come on. Like, this is, holy shit, this is a big deal.
Literally holy.
Literally holy. Right. All right. Anyway.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
Well, good. If I can get you one of those every once in a while, I'll do it. All right. Take a break. I promise no more theological discussions revolving soccer or revolving around soccer otherwise. But when we come back, we will talk about a man who continues to be in the news for coaching teams, even though he just got fired from coaching a team. What happens with Jesse Marsh and some Arsenal and Champions League discussion. That's all next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter, where I promise we won't discuss anything about the religious proclivities of soccer teams.
Or will we?
Or will
we? With our newfound rivalry. Leeds and United.
Yeah.
Celtic and Rangers.
Well, no, we're both Celtic fans, though. We're on the same page on that. I'm with Celtic. I'm not with Rangers.
Oh, then I'll go Rangers.
Oh, well. Well. Anyway, at Bone Beam United, you can go follow us there. Don't worry, because soon, Beam, I will be dropping Leeds as my team. Because, hey, don't look now. Sunderland still technically in the mix for the playoff spot in championship.
Right.
Their first year back in championship, and they're already fighting for a playoff spot to get promoted to the Premier League.
Good.
I don't think it's going to happen, but they had a nice little win a few days ago against, I believe it was Queen's Park Rangers.
Queen's Park Raisins, according to Louis Van Hall. And Michael Carrot.
Yes.
Michael Carrick and Queen's Park Raisins.
Louis Van Hall also gave us sex masochism when he was talking about getting hit. It was about choking a player. And he was like, you don't want to get choked only in this is not a part of soccer. It's only a part of sex masochism, is what he said. And this is a post-game interview.
He also said before the World Cup, like, players' wives were banned for coming to their rooms because of having sex. And they asked him, Louis, are you sticking to that rules? He goes, no. I'm going to see my wife. He's a legend, man.
Like,
I love
listen,
that
man,
dude.
My wife would divorce me if she didn't get some of this every night. You know what I'm saying? That's what Louis Van Gaal, he's trying to humble brag. That was all to set up a humble brag for him. No, I'm doing well in that department. That's what he's trying to say. All right. So Southampton was in talks. They fired their manager, whose name is like, I forget. It was like Nathan Jones or some very boring name. Sorry if your name's Nathan Jones.
Mike Jones.
Right. Yeah, that's sure. Whatever. My name's Jonathan Smith, by the way, so I have no room to talk. But anyway, whoever it was, he was the second manager that Southampton had this year because they fired the first guy like right before the World Cup. And then Nathan, whatever his name is, came in.
Nate Jones.
He managed one game before the World Cup, which I don't think they won. And then came back after the World Cup. They've had 13 or 14 games since then, and it's been abysmal. They're still 4 points below the line to stay up. They are the worst team in the Premier League by record. So he's relieved of his duties. And then the conversation became, well, Jesse Marsh is available, and his team technically is above the line as of right now. But also, Jesse Marsh rescued Leeds from relegation last year.
Yep.
So he knows how to do this, which is so funny how, like, again, two teams that are basically neck and neck for the same type of position.
Leeds 19 points, Southampton 25. Or excuse me, 15.
Okay. I was going to say 25. Yeah, right. So, like, 4 points separating them, and Southampton was like, maybe this guy can save us, after Leeds is like, there's no way this guy can save us.
Isn't that funny, like, how, like, you get termed as, like, a season saver? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how
right.
you can get they're, labeled as something?
Yeah. There's like these, it's almost like they do that as a specialty, like a reliever in baseball, where it's like, hey, this guy's, he's terrible for seven innings, but give him two, he's lights out. And it's, and then you become Mariano Rivera, possibly. I don't know. But either way, I don't know if Jesse Marsh is going to be that good. But apparently, this was
done,
very much done. And then the concern became, hey, Jesse Marsh, rightfully so, I'd like a long contract because, you know, kind of seems like you might have me as a season saver. If we get relegated next year, are you going to want me back?
Right.
If I can't rescue this, and if I do rescue it, then next year, 6 months in, we're still back in this spot. Am I getting canned like I just did at Leeds? I want a longer contract. And Southampton said, we're not willing to give you whatever length. I don't know what the difference was in term. They didn't want to do it. So this completely broke down.
So my guess is that Southampton came away and listen, I understand this from both parties on this. Like, if you go down and you decide, and I have no clue whatever the number would be for Jesse Marsh. I had no idea what it would be for him to come in and manage 16 games of the season. Like,
right.
None.
Yeah.
They're on 22 games played. They've got 16 games left in the Premier League. Like, no clue what that would be. £3 million, £4 million. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, like, what a coach's salary even is in the Premier League, sad to say.
I'm sure it's a lot.
You know what? If that's something you kind of have, maybe that's a little specialty you've dived into and you really know that stuff, tweet us at Bone Beam United. I'd love to know, like, who are the top five guys? Like, send me a link or something. I barely know what the NFL what it is anymore. Because I heard, like, Sean Payton, who's the new manager or new coach of the Broncos.
Yeah.
He's getting like $18 to $20 million a year, which shocks the hell out of me that you're going to pay someone $20 million to be the coach of a team in the NFL.
Tom Brady's going to get paid $38 million to talk about football.
Well, true enough. I know. I'm just saying, if you told me Premier League managers make $20 million a year, or that they, like, the guys on the low end are making like $200,000, the way they fire managers so quickly, I have no idea what these guys make. I'm guessing Pep's not making $200,000, but you get my point. Like, I could see a guy like Nathan Jones maybe is only getting, you know, $250,000, $500,000. Maybe it's not $2 or $3 million.
From an article from last week, Jesse Marsh contract with Leeds, and apparently they have all this available, that Jesse Marsh contract deal reported for the 2022 Premier League season. He signed the deal for 3 years, which will end in June 25. We know that that came up obviously early when he got fired. Guaranteed salary of £3.5 million a year.
Wow. All right. So that's to manage like a, I mean, he did help get them out of relegation, but let's be clear. It was assumed Leeds is probably going to be a bottom half of the
right.
Premier League type of team. I know a lot of money has changed hands, but
what does
that mean that Jurgen Klopp's making?
Or what is
Pep Guardiola?
Making?
Right, yeah.
You know, all these
guys are making probably 10 or 12 million a year.
I think it was reported as well that my favorite manager in the whole world, Diego Simeone, is making like $40 million a year at Atletico.
Oh, well, yeah.
But you think about Southampton and like, all right, you fired one guy already. And let's just say that they're on par with what they have to pay Jesse Marsh. Like, all that money's guaranteed, too. Like, you fire these guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
These payments aren't going away. So you've already paid out one contract to the tune of, I don't know what the contract deal was, $6 million, $9 million, $10 million,
yeah,
perhaps.
Who knows? Right.
Like, you're in debt for that. You're in debt for the interim coach who you just fired. And then if you get Jesse Marsh on board who's saying, okay, I'll come in and save your season. I want a 2-year contract or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Like at $3.5-4 million a year, like you're looking at another $8 million, $10 million perhaps. Your club gets relegated from that. Like that money is going away. And this, so people wonder like how these teams get in such bad financial situations. That is a part of the reason.
Well, yeah.
So I totally understand why Southampton's like, we can't attach any guaranteed money to anything that we're doing because we are in the fight for our life.
Yeah, and financially speaking, you're right. It'd be very easy to see Southampton. Although a lot of teams go down, they come right back up.
But if they don't.
If they don't and they have year two, year three, year four where they're way down, you and then you're still paying out a $10 million, $12 million salary to multiple guys, like that's not going to fly. That's not going to work. So, yeah, I get where they're coming from. That does mean, though, that Jesse Marsh still available for any current coaching jobs that might be around in the United States, like the national team job, which seems to still be open or not. I don't know. There's an investigation. Nothing's been. How long does this investigation take? The guy admitted to the thing.
Right.
What are you investigating? I don't know at this point. We already know, everybody knows the whole situation thanks to the Reyna family, the Berhalter family, Jay Berhalter hired Greg Berhalter back when that all happened. Like, everyone knows. So, can we get on with this? Maybe they're waiting this out. Maybe they were just like, Jesse Marsh is not going to, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they actually told him like, hey, you
we find
ask-
Greg Berhalter to be the worst person in the history of the world, Jesse Marsh.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
I honestly wonder what's going to happen with that U.S. national team thing. It still makes no sense to me how it's taking this long. And I know they have the runway to do it because of the fact you don't have to qualify for the next World Cup.
I saw FIFA just officially announced that this week.
Oh, that is it is official that we're all good. Okay. I didn't know that wasn't official. Actually.
I didn't either until I saw it on a tweet. And I'm like, I thought that was just.
I thought that was done.
I thought that was just a given.
Yeah, me too. Well, good to know. Now it is.
Yes.
All right. Well, in either case, we'll find out. We'll keep an eye on that whole situation as it goes. We'll have to find out, I guess, if U.S. gets a new manager at some point or if Greg's still the guy. Either way, Jesse Marsh will be a hot commodity. If nothing else, how much does this – this must be nice for him. The guy managed New York Red Bull, RB Leipzig, and Salzburg. If nothing else, you call up the energy drink people and be like, hey, I'm available again. You want an assistant? You want to – what do you want? Like,
where
do you want
me?
Put me where you want. Yeah. I'm back in the Red Bull family. And then he could just do that the rest of his life and make tens of millions of dollars coaching in the Red Bull family of teams.
Right. Already knows the structure.
Yeah. And he was successful there. Yeah. That's why he's getting these other jobs. It's why he got to this point. But yeah, in either case, I think that's a pretty good gig for him. And I, at some point, would love to get to the point where I have the FIFA A license or whatever you need to get considered for Premier League gigs just so I could get hired, be terrible, and then get fired.
It would be great.
You'd never hear from me again.
Ever.
Well, you know what? Except then, now I'd actually have something to say on the podcast because I'd be able to tell you more about tactics. I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, what they did here was this and that. I'd have way more insight. I wouldn't want to do it because I wouldn't need any money.
That'd be awesome.
Ah, what a life. Anyway,
I say we both go for that.
Let's do it. Let's Ted Lasso this thing,
you'd
baby.
Be like homeboy from Ren, I believe. Is it Ren?
Wait, who did that? What are we talking about?
The guy in France.
Yeah. But what is his? I'm trying to remember what the story was with him.
He literally started off by just playing Football Manager, and he was
yes, right. We didn't even talk about that story.
They get
I forgot
fined
about that.
Every
yeah.
game that he coaches because he doesn't have like his A license to coach. They get fined like $25,000.
You know what? I will be your hype man for that. I would just be the guy on the sideline holding the clipboard. I think you have a much more managerial presence because you're tall. And I could see you standing there like in a track jacket, disapprovingly shaking your head. And then I could sit there with a clipboard and just be like, hey, I drew a rainbow on here. And you'd be like, awesome. Keep going, buddy. And then like, that's it. But it looked like we knew what we were doing. That'd be fun. All right. Let's switch gears and talk about a team that should know what they're doing. That's Manchester City. But they've been chasing Arsenal. They've been trying to get better. They've been trying to get past Arsenal. And, had a game this week. and they got it done against Arsenal after it was, what, wasn't it tied up there 1-1, I think?
Tied up 1-1.
In the middle of the second half, and then...
City got a penalty overturned. Looked like they were going to get a penalty. They were going to take the lead on that, and then...
Arsenal was, yeah.
City were.
Oh, City were. City was going to, okay.
City were going to get a penalty. Yeah, yeah. That, so I was watching a lot of soccer yesterday. I had Champions League, so the City-Arsenal game started at 2:30, and then the Champions League game started at 3 o'clock. So I was multitasking. I know, yeah, as were you, as you have a radio show that you're doing during these times. So I was multitasking, and I was flipping back and forth between that and Dortmund and Chelsea. And so I missed both goals, but Jack Grealish scoring to make it 2-1, and then Erling Haaland putting the final nail in the coffin of Arsenal. Manchester City, only team to beat Arsenal this year on the road. Only team to do so in the Premier League, to beat them at their home park.
Wow. That's, I did not realize that. All right. That's, hey man, this season of Premier League has been awesome because of the fact you have so many, like Arsenal is, I don't want to call them like an also-ran. They're not, clearly, but the last few years have not been encouraging.
No.
So them being at the top of the table, I know if you hate Arsenal, if you're one of the rival teams, but for Arsenal fans, I know plenty of them, like, it's been good to see them actually.
I think it's been a great story
to enjoy it. Yeah, it's a fantastic story. And I'm sure Arsenal fans hate the fact that we're calling it a fantastic story like they are, you know, Leicester or something. It's like they don't feel like that.
They've been here before.
Yeah, they feel like we shouldn't be talking about them. We should all hate them. That's how I bet you felt with Manchester United. People were like, oh, good for Manchester United. They're going to make Champions League maybe. Like, you don't want to be that, like, oh, good for you, little guy. Like, that's nice. You want to be the team that everyone's like, oh, man, screw Manchester United. They win everything.
The best that I felt all year is when United beat City and Marcus was pretty much blatantly offside and they scored the game winner to beat City and everyone's like, oh, United's getting a call. It's like, we're back. We're back.
We're back. Yeah, it's not like, we're back. Good for them. It's like, oh, they're getting the calls like they always do. You're like, ah, yes, the hatred. Let the hatred flow through you.
Yeah, it's been Arsenal for a few years now, but it's been a horrible start. It's been a horrible second half start for them. Yeah. Loss against Everton. Then had a draw and now loss against City.
That Everton loss is one of the worst. As far as for the top teams in the Premier League this year, that's one of the worst Premier League losses you've seen because Everton's just been down so bad.
Where are you at on ours? Do you have confidence like that they can take? Now, they have a game in hand, so they're both on 51 points, Arsenal and City. I think City have 23 matches played. Arsenal have 22, or City have 22, and Arsenal have 21. You think their confidence is – shot? Like, where would your confidence be right now if you had to go out on a limb and say it's Arsenal and it's City and attach yourself to one of those teams? Which team are you more confident in holding the trophy at?
Well,
the end?
I mean, as of just a neutral observer, I'm way more confident in Manchester City just because they've been there, done that. They added firepower this offseason. Mm-hmm. So for Arsenal players, as much as they have a ton of talent there and I enjoy watching them play and they're great, but they've not been over that hump yet. Where the City players, many of them have already experienced that. They know the drill. They know the ups and downs of the season. And I can guess, as much as I'm sure there's been outward squawking and all that in the media about, you know, oh, no, is this the end? Is Manchester City dynasty? Was this blow up in their face with Erling Haaland not getting it done for that little stretch where he didn't score or whatever? All those players knew. We're good. We'll be there. We're fine. You know what I mean? They had that. I'm sure they had a lot more of that quiet confidence, whereas Arsenal players had to probably tell themselves, we're good. We're going to do this. Yeah. You're talking yourself into it versus knowing you've done it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can replicate that or instantly change that. So, yeah, outside looking in, more confidence in Manchester City.
Yeah.
But I don't believe by any stretch it's over and that Arsenal's not going to. No, Arsenal is going to put up a hell of a fight, and it would not surprise me if they win it. I'm just saying, if I had to place a confidence wager, it's going to be slightly more on Manchester City because of that extra experience.
Yeah, I'm with you, 1,000%.
Yeah. So Champions League, just roll through a couple of those games real quick. I'll just give you some results. You had PSG and Bayern in kind of the marquee matchup, I feel like, from this foursome of games that you had. And Bayern got the win while taking a red card because they're Bayern Munich and they just... Man, they are something to behold. But PSG, the story there, right? Again.
Mbappe came in. He was deemed fit to play in this game. Came in late.
They had some health concerns with him.
Had some health concerns. They lose 1-0 at home in Paris. Now you travel back to Munich for the second leg.
Not ideal. Not ideal. PSG and getting bounced early again.
Kylian Mbappe also said, I shouldn't have played in this game. So it's like, things are going really good for
you. Things are going great.
That's the one thing. It's the one thing that them and City haven't done.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's, circle it. That's the thing. Yeah. You can't do it. And it looks like, yet again, boom, first round.
They can't go out here.
Bayern
but
were rewarded for getting first in their group with a chance to play City and beat them 1-0 in their own place, and now we're going back to Munich.
PSG.
Who
yes,
did I
that's
say?
City.
Oh.
Yeah, but whatever. Either
one.
Yeah. And by the way, you were also right on Twitter where you're like, if only they had an abbreviation for, why were they putting PAR? Like, yeah, we know it's Paris Saint-Germain, but come on. Everyone in, like, I'm looking right now at the box score. They have PSG. Everywhere it's PSG.
On the telecast, it just has PAR. It's like there's only a three-letter acronym that everybody in the world knows them by.
Right. Well, you know what? They're not even at par right now, my friend. They're below par. Yeah.
And they're
well,
also
above par.
And they're also, yes, whatever above par technically.
Well, but yeah. But
I know what you mean.
Subpar is the way we say that, but you'd really want to be subpar in reality because that means you'd be doing well. And
right.
Whatever. This is a dumb phrase. Point is, PSG.
Anyways, I'm not
going
to have to look at it because they're going to get knocked out.
Well,
that.
I would, you know what? Again, maybe it has to do something with the fact, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but Lionel Messi just won a World Cup. Mm-hmm. Kylian Mbappe
just played
a World Cup final, and Kylian Mbappe has won a World Cup in his career. Like, that is the, there's nothing that compares to that. You can say whatever you want about how great Champions League is. It's great. There's nothing that compares to that. And I wonder what that means for those two guys now going forward.
Neymar's chasing that dragon. They have a lot of faith in him.
Well, we'll get to that in a second because there's some more thoughts there. Milan beat Tottenham. That was at home.
Tottenham stink.
Yeah, that's a rough one. That's rough.
They're having a tough time right now.
Yeah,
the Spurs.
That's no good. That's too bad for the old Tottenham Hotspurs there. But yes, AC Milan gets it done. They're flying right now. Now that was at home, so you do have to return and go to, you know, London and try to get one back. But we'll see if they can, you know, if Tottenham can still have that opportunity at home. Maybe that changes something.
It's crazy that they just beat City 2 weeks ago. Like, you beat them 1-0. You should be feeling really good. You turn around, get hammered by Leicester.
Yeah.
That was
a surprising result.
Then you go to the San Siro and give, you know, let up a goal in the first four minutes into the match. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we can't score anymore.
By the way, the San Siro's architecture is one of the craziest looking stadiums. If you've never looked at the exterior of that stadium, it's just got like, I don't know. It's just weird. It looks like something out of a dystopian future movie.
But that's also old.
Like, yes, but it is old. It's been around for at least 20 years or something.
That's what I mean.
I mean, the stadium has been around for much longer than that, but this version of it, the remodel that put all these different things around, these big trusses and columns, like, that's, I want to say, been there for a while because I think they're trying to remodel it again.
Yeah, they are.
So anyway, there you go. If you go to Milan, go to the San Siro. Why not? I've never been. I'm sure it's great.
I've never been to Milan.
I've never been to Italy.
Me either.
I've never been to Europe. You have.
I have.
Yeah. Screw you. Club Bruges, they're in Europe, so is Benfica. All these teams are. That's how Champions League works. Benfica beats Club Bruges 2-0. So that was a fine victory for Benfica.
I
was in Bruges, by the way.
It was in Bruges.
Good
Colin
movie.
Farrell, not at that game. Super not at that game, Colin Farrell. So I've been putting some midweek wagers on Champions League, which is great. So I like to attach myself to the parlays. Like, I throw $5 here, $10 there. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
And had a nice win on Tuesday where at halftime I'm like, you know what? I think Milan's going to see this through. It doesn't look like Tottenham's going to score. And I think there's going to be a goal scored in the Bayern match. It's going to be 1-0. So I put that 1-0 in both games, won that. And so yesterday, I'm going to need some advice here in a second. Yesterday, I had Dortmund 1-0 and Benfica 1-0. And Benfica scored in the 88th minute.
Ugh.
But the worst part was, like, it was $10 to win. Like, I don't even know what it was. It was a lot.
When you put those exact scores up, and you're not always picking a favorite to do it. If you hit on that, it can be lucrative.
Yeah, it was like $500 some.
There's a reason why they never hit.
Correct. There was like $500 some on a $10 wager, and so Meredith got home. We had pregnancy class last night. I'm like walking the dog. And I get home, first thing I search was Dortmund-Chelsea score. And I'm like, all right, 1-0, perfect. Like, let's see what Benfica did.
Yeah.
Googled them, saw they won 2-0. I was like, oh, no, that's horrible. I mean, good for them. stinks, but at the same time, like, that's where my mind went. I also, I'm going to need some advice. I have $10 on, I had City winning yesterday against Arsenal. I had Dortmund winning outright, like, not correct scoreline, outright winners against Chelsea yesterday. And I had Benfica winning outright against Bruges. Now, next week, I have attached, so then I have plenty of time to hedge out of this.
Yes.
I have Real Madrid over Liverpool next week at Anfield.
Yeah.
And then Napoli over Frankfurt.
Man, I feel like the Napoli one is pretty safe.
I do, too.
And, well, obviously, you made these bets. That's why you do. But that Liverpool one would be the troubling.
So I'm thinking about, like, hedging out at, like, $10 a bet on nil-nil, 1-0.
What do you have on, so what if this all hits, what do you get?
It's like 670.
Out of, what did you put in?
10.
Oh, yeah. So.
Hedge.
Hedge. Yeah. Hedge a lot. But, like, I mean, at the end of the day, if you were to, let's say, spend 60, hedging in a way that guarantees you're not losing money.
Right.
So you have to hedge enough that you would, whatever you win would be more than $70, I guess, right? Yeah, that's what I would do. I would find, but you can't do a combo.
I know.
Because then if it's like, oh, I picked Liverpool and Eintracht, and then that doesn't,
right?
Can't do that. So you have to almost go straight up money on both of those just to make sure.
And a draw, like as a draw line, you get screwed too.
Yeah. That's, you know what? Gambling sucks.
You know
no
what?
One should ever do it.
I'm going to ask my math major of a wife.
Yeah, because honestly, you need to look at the odds there and see what it is. But definitely hedge something. You gotta hedge something. Or do they have a cash out option?
Yeah, I'm at it right now.
What's the cash out?
It's like $80.
I
know.
Not,
see,
that's not
that's,
enough.
I
no,
know.
I'm not
I'm
doing that.
Greedy.
I'm not doing that. I get it, though. But if you get the Liverpool one to hit, I mean, Real Madrid, technically. I don't know, Madrid. I get why you picked all this. This makes sense, and you're in a good spot. Can you tell me when you're going to set these bets? Because I'm going to start following what you're doing.
So people have asked on Twitter. They're like, "You need to let me know." And I'm like, "I'm not going to be financially responsible for you." Like,
no. But well, me though.
Oh yeah,
just me. Because I'm not everybody else. I get because then they're But you can.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
You can let me know, and then I will make my own choices. I may go, haha, no.
Right.
Or I may say, absolutely done. So speaking of, well, we'd have one more game. You mentioned Dortmund beat Chelsea 1-0.
That was a fun-ass game.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch as much of that when I was watching some highlights of it. It looked like it was a great game.
It was up and down, and I forget who the announcers were on this game, and I thought the play-by-play announcer had a really good comment. It was the opening game. It's a game where whoever had the ball looked like they were going to score.
Right.
Like, it ended up being 1-0. Like, I'm surprised there weren't more goals. Joao Felix played magnificently for Chelsea. He's starting to get back after suspension, all that good stuff. And the play-by-play announcer is like, it seems to be that we have a seesaw in the middle of the field here at Dortmund in which whatever team has the ball looks like they're going to score. And, like, it was back and forth and back and forth. And Chelsea were, I don't know if they had a free kick or a corner kick or something like this. I mean, it was picture-perfect counterattack where Dortmund got their goal. And this dude who scored for Dortmund, and his name is escaping me at the moment, literally, ball hits the goalpost from Chelsea. Hits the post, almost score at one end. Dortmund just outlay this ball, and this dude just shot out of a cannon, one step, sidesteps the goalie, puts it through two defenders on the goal line, and puts it in. Like, it was, I jumped out of my chair when I was watching
it. It was Adeyemi, right?
Yeah.
Kareem Adeyemi?
That's it.
Okay. So, yeah.
It was remarkable.
Yeah, man. This is a, Dortmund is a, they can be a very fun team.
Yeah.
And that's why I enjoy watching them whenever I get a chance to. They are, air quotes, my Bundesliga team, but come on. I don't watch a lot of Bundesliga, I'm not gonna lie, but I always root for them whenever Champions League comes up, and I want to see them do well. So yeah, I'm sorry Chelsea fans, but that's where my loyalties lie on this one.
Good news for them though.
What's that?
Might be interested in Neymar.
Yeah, so we saw this story that Chelsea apparently, because they're just interested, they've got all this money, they'll just spend whatever. FIFA fair play rules be damned. That hasn't come back to bite anybody in the ass recently in your own league. So why not? Just go out there and spend. Todd Bailey, who cares? It'll be fine. But lots of money being thrown around. Maybe Neymar's the type of guy you can go bring in. It would be something to see if he goes to the comes to the Premier League and see what he can do.
All right. So I'm torn on Neymar. I know there are a ton of people who watch soccer and absolutely love Neymar. Just love him. Skills are tremendous. When he plays for Brazil, he's world-class. And some days when he plays for PSG, he's world-class.
Some days.
Now, he's had a weird relationship with PSG. Like, their fans don't really enjoy watching him play as the wrong, but, like, don't kind of agree with the way that he plays compared to Messi and Mbappe and, like, their team identity. He kind of plays outside of the team.
Yeah.
And there are other people who just despise Neymar.
You
know what I mean? Like, just
Completely overrated.
Completely overrated YouTube footballer, like, skills guy, TikTok guy. All he cares about is Instagram. So I'm in a weird category where it's like, I think Neymar has been tremendous. I don't think he has lived up to his hype, but he is pretty stellar. Like, when when he's engaged.
Yes.
Now, the problem is engaging him. And so, new look, fresh look. Okay, I'm going to go to the Premier League. I think Neymar would get tossed around just brutally.
I feel like
he would
also
sit some defenders down and send them in, like, spin cycles.
You'd see highlights for sure. And I think you'd see a lot of fans who very quickly would turn on him after a, like, it would only take a bad game where he just, he's engaged, but it just isn't working out and the team is game planned well and he doesn't really get a lot on the ball. The criticism that's going to come that way. And then that's where the disengagement will come in. Like, I just don't, I know he hears a lot of criticism. It's not like he's, you know, soft necessarily in that way. But as far as players who have a trouble sticking with the way that they should play when the going gets tough, he probably isn't going to be the guy who's just going to put his head down and grind through everything. No. So I don't know how that works in England, where that's all it is a meat grinder.
Right.
Like, it takes some of the most cheerful and ebullient players in the world and makes them come out of it going like, I'm smoking a cigarette now. I don't even know why. Like, they're just, you know, it's a tough environment. And I'm not saying
maybe he would thrive in that, though. You know, maybe he hasn't been challenged in France.
Yeah.
And some of the clubs that they're playing.
That's a good point.
In Spain. Like, I don't know. I like Neymar a lot. Like, I'm in the camp where I'm like, I'm a Neymar defender.
Oh, yeah. No, I am too. But I do feel like, Maybe the thing that happens there is, you know, he goes and suddenly all of Brazil is like, all right, finally, let's see what he does. Let's see how this works. And then there's that national pride kind of thing that plays into it as well, where it's like, now our boy's gone to England to show them how to play soccer.
Yeah.
And maybe he feels that responsibility and then he doesn't listen to the people, you know, in the media in England, which are going to, they're harsh anywhere. I mean, it's not like he doesn't hear them now. There's people who work in England who write for papers, who cover PSG, who cover all these teams, cover Champions League. So he hears it now. But
I would look so much forward to this.
Oh, yeah.
If Neymar makes a move to England and ends up playing for Chelsea, God knows what that fee is going to be if they buy him.
God.
Like 100, 200 million, I don't know what it is. But I'm just for the drama standpoint,
yeah, sure.
All in on this.
Yeah.
And positionless attackers, again, with Chelsea. You spent $800 million or $2 billion or whatever it's been since July. Like, yeah, sign me up.
Sign me up
for the Neymar experiment in Chelsea.
That's right. Yeah. By the way, where's Christian Pulisic fit into all this? Who knows? Who cares?
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Dude, is that not shocking?
Yeah.
That, like, we're talking about, I mean, again, I don't know that this is going to happen, but it's like, oh, yeah, Christian Pulisic exists. And he's obviously hurt, so he's not playing right now. But, right? He's hurt. I think he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. Okay.
Where's he at in the game plan for Graham Potter?
I hope he's hurt.
Seriously.
Because otherwise, it's bad that he's being... No, I'm pretty sure he is.
He is hurt.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
I hope he's hurt.
So the next round of games, by the way, as you mentioned, these for the Champions League, Liverpool-Real Madrid, that is Tuesday, February 21st. That would be, for those of you listening on Soccer Podcast Week, that's next Tuesday. Same for Eintracht Frankfurt and Napoli, both those games at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Go Napoli, go Madrid.
Yep. Wednesday, it's Leipzig and Man City and Inter Milan taking on Porto. That is both of those Wednesday 3 p.m. games as well. Second leg of the games that were just played this week, those will occur March 7th and 8th, the return legs of those. So
month from now.
Plan your calendars accordingly. We'll reconvene sooner than that, but not soon. Yeah, whatever. Not before the next Champions League game. You got it. We'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then. It's Bone and Beam United.